Good afternoon, everyone, to the Metro Access Subcommittee. Today, on Monday, October 15th, 2023, as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded. The audio will be placed on our website, WMATA.com. I would like to share a few.
This is breaking up a lot.
Breaking up a lot?
Yes.
All right, give me one second. Thank you for letting me know.
Is this better?
Yes, but your voice is a little bit more faint and could speak a little bit louder.
Okay.
But we don't have all the back, you know, we don't hear all the whatever noise that was going breaking
okay.
up.
Okay. I do have Ms. Rush on my cell phone also, so I don't know if. Anyhow, we'll try. Is this better though?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yes.
So I would share a few helpful tips. Anybody who's joining on the phone call, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. And if you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *9. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you can click on the hand raise icon, that will raise or lower your virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it will be, excuse me, very helpful, because then we know that somebody's trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. And it also, because everybody's on mute right now, hopefully, it helps eliminate any external noise. So I would thank everyone in advance to please stay on mute unless you're speaking. And if you're able to use the tools, please try. Otherwise, we will take the callers as best as we can. As you know, we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on the meeting. I would request for anyone who makes comments, please state your name before your comments. It helps them in doing their job. It also helps everyone who is on the phone call and anybody who listens to the audio afterwards. Chair, if you permit, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda and then take the call.
Okay, you can read the agenda, but I would like to switch item 2 and 3. To have the one with the about the OCC let me bring up my agenda here. The OCC update to be right after the first speaker's presentation, and I'll address it with an amendment, but you can go with it as is.
Okay, great. So,
and then after that, the minivan update.
Okay, so I'll read it and then you'll be changing the agenda. Order.
Mm-hmm.
And I will share my screen, and I'm thinking it should be visible now. So after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the AAC members. Then the committee chair and the members would go through the review and approval of today's meeting agenda and prior meeting minutes. And afterwards, the next item is reports. That includes commendations report, customer service report, and if there is any outreach report. Followed by the awards, that includes Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. We will have James Westrick. He is the performance analyst, and he would be providing Metro Access performance report. On the agenda, as it states, we will have updates, minivan update by Mr. Blake, followed by, or the order, we will have another update about Metro Access OCC by Terry and Williams Hall, and the next update would be Metro Access web booking. Public comment section is scheduled at 5:35 p.m. and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I would stop sharing my screen. Going through the When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azar Atura. Darnese Bush.
Present.
Thank you. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Timothy Howard. Steve Kaplan. Steve actually informed that he will not be able to join today. Thomas Mangram.
Present.
Thank you. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsel. Sandy is connected on the meeting. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you, Sandy. Phil Posner. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. Paul Semelford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan. Kelly Simona. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting.
Excuse me, Anu. I now had to raise my hand, but how do I unmute on the phone?
Star 6, Tino.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, sure. Thank you.
No problem. Okay, Chair Semelford, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. So first, we're going to do the review and approval of the meeting agenda. At this time, the only modification I'm going to propose to this fully packed agenda is moving up the order of right after the Metro Access performance report, we're going to go into the Metro Access OCC update. And at that agenda item, I also want to it to be addressed by Ms. Williams-Hall, the current issues of the IT issues that are going on, and an update on that and what's going on, and steps that are going to be done to resolve it, along with what's going to be, you know, rolled in with that topic. And then we can continue with the rest of the order of the agenda. Any other changes, motions to amendments to this fully packed agenda besides that? Seeing none, can I get a motion to move this agenda as amended?
So moved, Darnese.
All right. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nay, nays, abstentions, the motion carries. We have amended this agenda as I've stated in terms of the order and the content being covered. Next, we're looking at the minutes from last month, which is October, so September. Are there any changes, additions, comments on last month's agenda? Hearing the crickets, can I get a move? September's Metro Access Subcommittee minutes as is.
So moved, Darnese.
Thank you. A second?
A second. This is Sandy.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor of approving the minutes from September 2023 Metro Access Subcommittee meeting as is, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays. Abstentions. The motion carries. All right, Ms. Anderson, we are up next with you with reports in terms of accommodations, customer service, and outreach.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Semaford. Again, my name is Allison Anderson with Metro Access. It's my pleasure to introduce Dolan Chittums with our QA contractor, MTM, who will give the public comment resolution report from our last meeting. Dolan?
Good afternoon. And my name is Dolan Chittums from MTM, Metro Access Quality Assurance. There were no outstanding public comments to address from either the September AAC or Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. In August 2023, there were 468 commendations. The recipients were First Transit with 63, Transdev 101, MV 116, Challenger 93, Next Merlin and VA with 85, MTM with 3, Eligibility with 3, and Abilities Ride with 4. This concludes my report.
Hello, Dolan. This is Mr. Somerford here. I do remember from the September Metro Access meeting, there were a lot of customer comments, and we still had others, and maybe knew you can help me. Were all those issues resolved?
Actually, I can jump in there, Mr. Semaford. So the customer.
Oh, you're on mute, Ms. Anderson.
Sorry about that. I had a double click there. The customer comments that were brought up at the last session were actually addressed during that session. I think those questions were answered during the session. And following up with the new after the session, because I knew that we still had some customers out there that may have had public comment, none forwarded any of those public comments, at least to Anu, when we followed up afterwards.
Wait, there was one, I believe it was Sandy, was that you or someone else? I saw an email.
There was an email from me initially around the time of that September meeting. I think I was asked to submit an email shortly before or shortly after. Anyway,
yeah, you did it shortly after. I remember seeing the email because you copied me in a new.
Right. And I do know that the customer that I was speaking about has since followed up through the ombudsman, Barbara Millville. And so I think it's in process, hopefully.
All right. If you can follow up with that, Ms. Anderson, we appreciate that.
I can certainly do that.
All right. Your next piece. Go ahead.
We don't have any outreach I take that back.
Oh, okay.
I think Mr. Blake was at a event this past weekend with the National Federation of the Blind. So that would be one of our outreach events from our last session. However, we do continue to follow up with customers that we receive reports or concerns, service concerns through the Office of ADA Planning. And we follow up with the customer directly as it relates to any issues or service concerns that they may have.
All right.
So that would conclude our outreach report. We can move into the Michael Wilson Award.
Sure.
So this afternoon, we have Gerald Darner with MV Transportation, who will be presenting the recipient of the Michael Wilson Recognition Award for October. Gerald?
Thank you, Ms. Anderson, and thank you, everyone. It's a pleasure, first and foremost, to speak in front of everyone. I appreciate this opportunity. The Michael Wilson Award for this time frame is actually being awarded to Sharon Faxio, which is a senior dispatcher in the OCC call center located in the Hyattsville location. The reason that Ms. Faxio was chosen for this award is she is above and beyond what a great employee should be. She has excellent customer service in regards to her quality scores. She consistently scores 95% or above. She is what we would consider a subject matter expert, knowing pretty much everything there is to need to know about dispatching, monitoring dispatch, helping customers with where's my ride, and providing what we would call exemplary service. She is always willing to help with her knowledge, with her skill set, with new employees, with anything we asked her to do. She is the type of person, if we need her to work 10 minutes overtime to finish a project, she's more than willing to do that. This is why we have chosen her for the Michael Wilson Award, and it's our pleasure to present her with this award, which she will actually be presented by Dante Washington, my co-OCC director in the office, and hopefully we can share screen and have him actually deliver this award to Ms. Faxio at this time.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dante Washington. I'm here with MV Transportation. I have Ms. Faxio with me here on the left. You all can see her. I will be presenting her with this plaque. There you go. Wonderful contribution to our team. And she also will be rewarded a $100 gift card.
Oh, wow. Thank you
very much. Very nice. Very well deserved, Ms. Faxio. We appreciate you more than any words could ever explain.
Thank you, everyone.
Congratulations. Right. Yes.
And I must say, I've known Sharon and worked with her over the years at Metro Access. A great employee, really all about the customer and each and everything she does. So congratulations, Ms. Faxio. Well deserved.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
So with that, we're going to move to the Metro Access, the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. And this afternoon, we have Mr. Robbie Worth with National Express Transportation to do that award presentation. Robbie?
Thank you, Allison. Okay, the Safety Award today is being given to Next Maryland's Dante Brooks. And I believe that Mr. Brooks is on the phone with with Delonte Wells, our safety manager. But we'll give him a chance to say hello in just a moment. Dante began working for National Express over a year ago. During his tenure, Mr. Brooks has been a fantastic employee. He has no preventable incidents, excels in attendance, receives praise from clients, and is on time for all safety meetings. Mr. Brooks is also an ardent Dallas Cowboy fan. So Dante, maybe today you'll hit the double home run and Dallas will win tonight as well, right? Since he was a young boy, he's loved to cook. He enjoys athletics, fashion design, and the piano, which he has been self-teaching for 15 years. I guess Mr. Brooks needs a break every now and then because he's married and has 10 children, 7 boys and 3 girls. He's highly focused on his family, and he's highly focused on the Metro Access customers as well. He's passionate about providing assistance to everybody that he meets in the service, and also enjoys providing services to others. Congratulations, Dante. Can you say a word?
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. Can you see me?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Really appreciate it.
Okay, Dante. All right. Well, good luck. Good luck tonight. But you know, there are some people in the room that are rooting against you. Realize that.
It comes with the territory. That's all the time. That always comes with the territory.
I know it. We'll have to have a discussion next time I see you.
That's a long one. That's a long one.
All right. Thank you so much, and congratulations, Mr. Wells. I really appreciate all the loyalty, service, everything that you do for our Metro Access customers. So thank you very much for that. So Mr. Semelfort, I'll turn it back over to you.
All right, our first presenter is going to be, again, Mr. Jay Westrich, if I'm saying it correctly, the performance analyst, talking about our wonderful, now that we can see through the WMATA page, performance report.
Thank you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jay Westrake. I am a performance analyst here at Metro on the Office of Performance and Global Benchmarking. And I will be sharing the Metro Performance Report for FY23. I hope you can see my screen.
We can, Jay. Thank you.
Oh, great. Thank you. So just a note about the strategic transformation plan that we have implemented, which guides our long-term strategy of decision-making. Eventually, this report, starting next quarter, will be called the Service Excellence Report, mostly reporting on similar things. Here is the scorecard for our entire system. You can see here there are a few Metro Access items with customer satisfaction. While we did not meet our target in FY23, we are trending in the right direction. Our on-time performance, we did meet the FY23 target. And for safety events, while we also did not meet target, we are trending in the right direction. Here on the middle right of the page, you can see the Metro Access customer satisfaction over the last 6 quarters. And while we have seen a decline since the pandemic has eased up, we did see an uptick in customer satisfaction in the last quarter, and it's sitting now at 77%, missing the target of 90%. We are working on this as we are providing drivers with customer service tips, focusing on promptness, politeness, professionalism, and personalization. Here on the right, you can see our Metro Access ridership has been steadily climbing again since the pandemic has begun easing. Here we'll talk about the Metro Access on-time performance. We did meet target at 92.7% of customers being picked up on time, meeting the target of 92%. In Q3 and Q4, we had fairly steady performance. Some initiatives that we've taken is monitoring and addressing trips projected to be late, and also reassigning some trips to taxis and other resources. We've also started recruiting new operators and replacing older vehicles. One more highlight is that our rate of excessively late trips remained steady also in the last quarter at 1.5%. Now we'll talk about the safety. You can see in the first row of graphs on the edge is the Metro Access. We've certainly trended in the right direction, bringing our safety event rate down to 12.5, well below our target of 19.5. And for customer injuries, we've also seen a decline each quarter for the last 2 quarters, meeting target in Q3 and Q4. Diving a little deeper into the Metro Access customer injury rate, we had 13.7 customer injuries per 10 million revenue miles, which did beat our target of no more than 15.6. We had a total of 26 injuries this fiscal year. 18 were collision related, and there were 8 slips, trips, or falls. 65% of our customer injuries were classified as non-preventable this year. One initiative that we've taken is we've released revised door-to-door and wheelchair securement training videos at the very end of this fiscal year. And our customer injury rate beat target every month in the last quarter of FY23. And one quick note is that Metro has launched a new open data hub on WMATA.com. This includes real-time data from Metro Pulse and also the Metro Service Excellence Dashboard. Here you can find the last year's worth of data on rail, bus, and even Metro Access.
Now we're talking about the hub. Can you go into details on some of those main things that we can, you know, see now in terms of day-to-day real time?
Sure. So the real time right now is just in Metro Pulse, which is right now just rail, although I know we are rolling out bus and some in the near future. The Service Excellence Dashboard, while it is not real-time data, it can provide the number of riders, on-time performance, and the rate of shared rides over the last 13 months. And you can filter that to a specific date range It's not real time though. I think there's about a 7-day lag, give or take, on that.
Oh, okay. Because I've been playing with it, and I've been on it, you know, every other day, and it seems to go up to, like you said, 7 days. There's a little bit of lag, but you know, it is up and running because I've been going into it. That's why I want you to go into depth of what customers can see with that, put the particular Metro Access section.
Yes. Yeah. I believe the three metrics are ridership, on-time pickup performance, and shared rides.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, you can go right ahead. Continue.
Oh, that was it.
Is this it for the presentation? We can start asking questions or?
Yep. If any questions, I'm happy to take them.
So with you there and Mr. Blake, with your open ear, is it possible? I know we got those three metric performance items, which are awesome to have now in real time. And I've been in there playing with it. I said, oh, you can go toggle back by week, by day, make comparisons. Is it possible in the future we can get two performance indicators that are critical to the Metro Access Call Center in terms of, and we've been talking about it during our meetings, is for reservations and where's my ride? If eventually we can get some specific information about that, what I'm targeting is, we talked about from our monthly performance reports, information about, the number of minutes to, we should help me out here, Mr. Blake, in terms of minutes in terms of, customers are expecting calls. I want to make sure I say it correctly for the record. Tongue-tied today.
So I'm going to say it, but you tell me this is what you're talking about. All customer calls to the call center, reservations or dispatch, are expected, 95% of customer calls to the call center, reservation and dispatch, are expected to be answered within 2 minutes.
And is it possible at some point, if you work with that team, we can possibly, if that's feasible, get that data for both those two critical functions?
You mean on the live hub?
Yes.
What is the answer call? I don't believe that's a challenge. I would defer to anyone else, Terry and someone else, who may say that could be challenging. But I don't see that eventually as being a challenge. But do others say otherwise?
No, so we should be able to supply that information real time.
Okay.
Because those are two critical functions of the Metro Access Center. We either want to know about reservations or where's my ride.
We're
going to
talk about it in a little bit. I don't want to get too far.
Oh, no.
But just remember, this is about the initial phone call, not necessarily if Paul calls, wants his trip on Uber, and they say they put you on hold, so a supervisor. That's a different...
Just that initial call, to be, obviously you need to be very specific so people understand what that statistic is talking about, real time.
To your point, I think it's a great idea, Mr. Chairman, because I think that'll be another tool in which we, I'm saying collectively, all of us are trying to get customers, especially on the reservation line, to begin calling earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. So if they can see that the hold time is longer at 3:30, but then they look at it at 10 in the morning to see that it's much faster, maybe that could change some behaviors, at least when it comes to reservations. So I think that's a great idea you just shared with us.
All right. Wow.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I completely agree. This is Rico Dancy.
Thank you, Rico.
All right. I guess, do I need to make a motion with our subcommittee that we should go ahead and do this? I guess that'd be my proposal.
Yes, let's go ahead and make a motion.
All right. So I make a motion as a subcommittee that we propose to ask, I guess, the Metro Access Management to work with or out of, you know, whatever department, God, I'm lost for words here, with this gentleman here, to incorporate from our monthly data reports, well, daily, the information from both reservations and Where's My Ride for those two metrics. Can I get someone a motion to
second the motion?
Second the motion.
Sandy, I second it.
I'll second it.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Because it's, I mean, we can have discussion, but this is very clear. These are two critical functions, and we want to be able to have customers empowered with information so they can make informed decisions. And be, and this is transparency about two critical functions of the Metro Access Call Center.
Darnese, I see your hand is up. This is Anu.
Okay. Cut out. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is this going to be part of the regular monthly report?
Oh, it's still going to be part of regular monthly report. It's required. We just want to put those two pieces, which are very important, out there live on the web.
Oh, okay. I'm in favor. I just want for clarification, that was all.
All right, we'll put this to a vote. All in favor of having these two measures, the motion to pass, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays?
Aye.
Abstentions? The motion carries. All right, this is wonderful. Any other committee members have questions about this presentation before we move on to the next? All right, hearing none, thank you so much, sir, for coming to us. Mr. Blake, did you have a word or two to say?
No, that wasn't me, sorry.
Oh, okay. Next, I'm going with Ms. Williams-Hall. So I kind of moved the order with you to talk about the OCC updates to include our, I guess, our IT issues and describing what's going on and what are y'all, how y'all working to, you know, obviously proactively, you know, mitigate the situation.
Good afternoon. This is Terry M. Williams-Hall, Director for Metro Access. So I want to make sure that I understand the full scope of the OCC update that you're expecting right now. With regard to the technical issues, these are not specific to Metro Access, but it's a WMATA-wide issue that we're dealing with as a result of some data center changes that they made late last year. But we believe that things have stabilized over the weekend, and we anticipate that we're going to be fine for a while. We will have to do some more data center transition in the future. But right now, we believe that this matter has been primarily resolved. So you'll likely hear the IVR message go away tomorrow. We just want to make sure that everything is stable.
Okay.
And just so we can and be clear and, you know, diverge the different issues. What you're speaking of, Terry, and if I'm not mistaken, are the phone issues that customers experienced over the weekend and over last week. Is that this one?
Yes, that's what I assumed that Mr. Semaphore was asking.
Yeah, the messaging that we're getting in the calls I've been getting from customers. That's why I wanted to get that out there first.
And we've largely, knock on wood, cross our fingers, think we resolved it, as she stated. So time will tell, and I see Ms. Dunaway on, and Ms. Dunaway, and I know you'll let me know, Paul, but I know Ms. Dunaway will too, very quickly and consistently. So I appreciate Ms. Dunaway keeping me up to date as well, even when I don't see or hear about some of these things right away. So that's the phone side. Now, Ms. Williams-Hall, do you want to share? Do we have anything to share about web booking?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I'm sorry. I think that's separate on the agenda.
Yeah, that's separate on the agenda. I think what she's addressing next is the update with our Tim.
Yes.
Correct. Yes.
This is Anu.
Yes.
Thomas has raised his hand.
I'm sorry.
So, Thomas, do you have a question or comment about this topic?
I don't know if it's exactly about this topic, but it's about Metro Access.
Can we, if it's not about this topic, can we save it for a public comment and have you down?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Williams Hall.
I don't know how to. I usually go to the meeting, and I haven't been on the Zoom call before, and I don't know how this work. But I do have a issue about the IT issue online in the last 3 weeks. Not showing my rides, not showing my trips.
Right. When I, all right, so that's on the webbook, yeah, and we're going to
okay.
Touch that jump later.
To
that.
Yeah, okay.
I jumped
okay.
too quickly to that. Any yeah. more questions about the phones?
About that the phones.
Okay,
this is about the phones first. Oh, we're okay. gonna get to that
how
too.
How do you get your hands? Put your hands up on this on the Zoom.
That's a good question because it depends on if you're on the phone and.
But I'm hey, on it. On
yeah, just jump okay. on. That. We're good. We're good.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank
All
you.
Right, go ahead, Mr. Williams.
I see Rico's hand is up. Hold on one second. I see oh, okay. Rico's hand is up.
And this is related to the topic at hand.
So talking about the call.
Okay, go ahead.
When the call center gets a call, do they just hang up?
Not supposed to.
Let me voice myself. So when I call... When I call and let's say I push option one and I hold for about 2 minutes and by itself, it hangs up by itself.
Yeah.
That's been some of the issues that we had last week that Terrian has just announced.
Yeah. We believe that happened. That happened Wednesday. No, that happened, I think, last week. Yeah, it was last week because I called, tried to schedule a trip for my doctor's appointment. And at the call, I push option one, and by myself to disconnect. And I call about four times, and was doing this same thing. And I want to thank everyone for your prayers when I had my surgery.
Thank you.
And just in response, with Terrian, you. Correctly, that was the issue you were discussing previously.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So hopefully Mr. Rico and others will not experience that moving forward.
Thank you, Mr. Blake.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Williams-Hawk. You can continue.
Sure. So as you know, we're working to incorporate our digital assistant. Several committee members have graciously volunteered to provide user acceptance testing support. However, because of the multiple network issues that we've had over the past 5 days, that has hampered our testing progress. So we hope to have this resolved totally within the next few days and then complete and implement the testing. Those of you that volunteer to participate will be notified as soon as the issues have been thoroughly addressed. In light of this delay, it looks like the digital assistants will be in service by the end of the month. So we had hoped it would have been this week, but because of those delays, we couldn't get the testing done. And so now we're hoping to have all the testing and your feedback incorporated in the product and then a rollout by the end of the month.
All right. Any questions from the committee members with Ms. Williams Hall about this particular topic?
Mr. Summerford, is this where you wanted us to talk about the OCC performance that we discussed last month?
Oh no, I didn't have that. I thought you were going to continue talking about Tim and where that project is going so far, as another option for people to do reservations with the digital assistant.
We're going to come back to the overall performance and plan with the OCC, probably at the next meeting if that's okay.
That's fine because I know you want to gather data together to present and see hopefully. Well, no, not hopefully. I know y'all will have improvements.
Yes.
All right. So next, then, Mr. Blake, we can go back to you to give Ms. Williams Hall a break about the minivans. I'll let you talk about it, and then some of us will give our experiences.
Yes. Yeah, so I don't want to delay this. I really want to hear from you all because that's really what matters. But yes, we have approximately 23 minivans in service now. They are, in a sense, the wave of the future. If you know, we have the, as Ms. Rush affectionately refers to them, the cargo vans. and they've done a yeoman's job transporting Metro Access customers, but of course we've had to make some adjustments to those vehicles. They are very uncomfortable to a lot of people and some other things. So in light of that, we introduced the sedans, but the sedans are only for a small, it only represents a small percentage of our fleet and only addresses a portion of our customer base. The minivans are designed to be the best of both worlds, in which they can accommodate all Metro Access customers, just about except those who will require larger vehicle accommodations, but they also give you the comfort of riding in a consumer passenger vehicle. So we anticipate these becoming the bulk of the Metro Access fleet. And therefore, this is the first round of vehicles that are coming in. And so we've been trying to get some of you and your trips. If the computer didn't necessarily assign the vehicle to you, we've been trying to move the vehicles to some of your trips specifically. So those of you who've taken a trip on a minivan, look forward to hearing your thoughts, questions, concerns, ideas, and we can see what's possible moving forward.
I'm trying to raise my hand, and I should know how to do this, but I can't remember.
No problem, Ms. Dunaway. Mr. Chairman, can Ms. Dunaway proceed with speaking?
Yes, I guess she's going to talk about her experience on it.
Well,
she's going to talk about the phones, actually. I think she
No. I am actually going to stay on topic.
Sorry. Okay, good.
I came in late. But I just want to say thank you for acknowledging me. And I did get on one of those little vans. And as Mr. Blake knows, I am definitely the one to comment on how it feels. So what I'll say is this: the ride is pretty good in that I'm not feeling the potholes. I'm not that, so to speak. And I know once your order's in, it's in. There's nothing you can do about that. However, the way they did the seats sitting on them is not bad, but the way they did the back of the seat is awful. It's just so straight up and rigid. It's got no back support whatsoever. And then I know this sounds critical, and I apologize if it does, but I'm the rider and I know how it feels. Mm-hmm. It makes it kind of hard. Like, we're talking, there's just no curve to this whatsoever. The only other thing is, I noticed when I was putting the seatbelt on that I was having trouble putting it in. And then what happened was I realized, because the driver told me, there's really three seats there. I'm sorry, but that's just ridiculous. There is no way three people could possibly sit there unless it was a baby in the middle, maybe. So I just, you know, wanted to throw that out to you, that I don't understand what they were thinking when they did that. But that's all I had to say about that.
Okay. And, well, thank you, Ms. Dunaway. Well, but let me just say a couple of things on this. There are three seats back there. That's how Chrysler created these consumer vehicles. And quite frankly, three adults can sit back there, as myself and two other adults actually sat in that row of seat together. However, so I just want you to know that three adult people can in fact sit in there and be comfortable. And understanding that, is, you know, while this is a consumer vehicle for families and folks like that, this is public transportation, not a limousine service. So if there ever is a case where there's going to be the need to put three people back there, that is a possibility. But what I want to share with the committee is that right now, the Metro Access plan is to not have more than one ambulatory passenger along with a wheelchair passenger, or two ambulatory passengers in the vehicle at the same time. But as Ms. Dunaway pointed out, three people can, or there are three seats, let's put it that way. And there is a possibility that one day a customer Ms. Dunaway, or Mr. Simmerford, or someone could be riding alongside two other people in a minivan. But right now, that is not how we're scheduling those trips.
Okay, are you finished, Ms. Dunaway?
I just have to tell you, like, for real, send everybody a graph and a diagram of this, because the actual size of an adult person is not the size of what's in that little seat in between. There's no way. So if you put three people in there like that, they had to be no more than 110 pounds a piece to be able to put somebody in the middle like that.
Unfortunately, I'm 201 and I need to lose 30 pounds. My doctor told me I might be eligible for Metro Access soon. So no, there were three adults in there, and I hear you, Ms. Dunaway. It's not your preference. We hear you.
No, it's not about preference. Really, it isn't. Okay. It isn't okay. About that. It's about how many people could really fit in there.
Okay. I hear you, Ms. Dunaway.
I'm just saying, I think that you should at least let the committee spec out the size in inches of what's really in that seat. And instead of having us just testify about it personally,
okay.
You want empirical evidence.
So this is what I'll do. Know
how wide that is for the two seats on one side and the one in the middle.
That's not a problem. What I'll do is bring the specs to the next meeting and we'll share that with the committee and I'll send it by email. But as I pointed out, there were three adults sitting in the backs in that row of seats. And is it possible that it can happen with customers? Yes, it is. But right now, that's not our plan. But if you know that you're calling Metro Access and using a shared ride public transportation service, you have to be willing to remember that and accept that fact.
All right. So I wrote it, Mr. Blake, obviously for two trips. I will say it is a smooth ride. However, going back to the previous customer here, I know I see three seats. I'm a big person. You get a second big person. If you ever schedule a third person, what happens if they're not able to fit at all back there? If there's two big people like me, like, okay, I'll throw it out there, Miss Rush. You know, what do you do? Because and it's also the seatbelt. And I said, when I was riding there, I said, I was able to ride in there, obviously, safely and everything, but it just felt the legs were a little bit short. There needed to be more leg room up front because I felt like the seatbelt was was nice and firm, was the only thing holding me in. I said, because I would have slid out if it wasn't for the seatbelt. So the seatbelt was great. It's just the fact that I could have used a larger person, a little bit more leg room, but I was still able to ride, you know, decently and safely. And then I'm looking at the space for the wheelchair. If we have a wheelchair in there and there that and two people, someone's going to have to move for the driver to secure that wheelchair.
So let me come back to you again and hear the policy again.
Okay.
We're not scheduling three passengers. I'm telling you that it's possible that there's three people can sit back there. Now, if they're three larger individuals and human beings and all three cannot fit at the same time, if that were to happen, we would call the call center and the road soup and we would make an adjustment there. But right now, there are three seats. Our scheduling policy is either two ambulatory customers or one customer and a wheelchair customer. Mm-hmm. That's who would be transported in a Metro Access vehicle. And let me also remind you again, Mr. Chairman, as the statistics that you all receive right now, during the week, less than 40% of trips are shared ride trips. We're still one of the lowest in the nation. So in a lot of ways, you are getting limousine service. And so that's number one. And number two, on the weekends, that number is less than 20%. So again, what I would say, Mr. Chairman, the vehicles can fit three people in the seat. We're not scheduling three people who are ambulatory in the vehicle. We're only scheduling two ambulatories or one ambulatory in a wheelchair, and the fact that under our current service model, which doesn't look to change anytime soon, the number of shared rides on Metro Access and will be included on the minivans are very, very minimal at this point in time. So that's not an issue I think we would need to dwell on, because we had a lot of these same concerns when we introduced the sedans. And by and large, we haven't had these type of issues with the sedans either.
All right. So the next thing I want to address while riding both trips is the Garmin. One was off, clearly, on that first trip. And the second one, and I took pictures and sent it to you, clearly there was a base stand for it, but it was not there.
Right. So the Garmin issue is a separate issue, not unique to the minivans. The Garmin issue is a driver behavior issue, because some of the examples you sent us were in sedans as well as the traditional vans. So we're continuing to stay on the contractors. I mean, and most of your, now mainly because of where you live and where you're traveling to and from, are from a handful, from one particular provider in particular. But we know that this happens at other bases, but perhaps not as much as the base that is primarily serving your trips. However, that is a behavioral issue, and okay, we're finding ways to
address
how to put hold people accountable who don't want to, who feel they are the human computer and know the map in their head. And we respect that, and we accept that they've been driving for years and know these roads backwards and forwards. But we're a technology company, if you will, and we want to use the best in technology. Mm-hmm. But I hear you on the Garmins. Both Ms. Anderson and I receive your text messages early in the mornings, and hope you keep sending them, because that's the only way we could address the individual operators. But that certainly is not an issue unique to the minivans.
Okay.
Here, Summerford, this is Anu.
All right, next Ms. person, Ms. who do you Rush? Have? Oh, Ms. Rush, you're
and,
next.
And I believe there's a member of the public.
Okay.
Okay, this is Ms. Rush. The van rides very smoothly. I have previously said that three people cannot sit. They have to be small. A smaller person like Anu and two Anus and one Miss Rush, but not healthy, wider loads can sit on that three seat. Now, I want to talk about the wheelchairs, strapping in the wheelchair. You're going to have to adjust your time when you, the person is being strapped in, because it takes 10 minutes additional to strap a wheelchair in. And there is no way that the driver can strap the person in without touching that person. And some people don't want you to be touching their back area, but there's no way that they can not touch them to get them strapped in properly.
So can I,
if you have a person, if you have a person sitting behind you when they're doing that wheelchair, that person has to get off the stand up or get off the vehicle, because there's no way that the driver, everybody's going to be touching everybody. So to only strap in one person in the wheelchair, there's no, I don't know how they're going, if they're being strapped in on the left-hand side, there's no way that you're not going to be touched. And there are people who are going to be annoyed with that touching. So I just want you to know that. And it takes longer to strap the wheelchair person down and unstrap them. So when you're, I don't know if you're going to have, you know, time, you've got to allow 10 minutes additional for the trip for the strapping in of the wheelchair on either side. But if you do it on the left side and there's somebody behind you, there's no way. They have to get off, stand up or get off the van to be strapped in.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. Now, I will say one more positive thing. I like the double doors. It does help now with, you know, one-way streets and where the driver now can get the customer on the correct side in which they're on safely. So I will say that is a major improvement with the double doors.
Okay, and, you know, and you're right about that part of it. I wanted to go back to Ms. Rush because, yes, I was here the day. Oh, and by the way, before I digress, yesterday, October the 15th, was our third anniversary of having sedans, of these new sedans in the fleet. And Ms. Rush was the very first customer in a sedan. That's how I knew about it, because it gave me a memory and my pictures. So yesterday was the anniversary. So I want to thank her for participating in that. She wasn't the first one in the minivan, though. But I was out here one day watching the minivan. Deborah's, she's funny. I was out here one day watching the minivan trip for Ms. Rush. And yes, I went back to my team and basically shared what Ms. Rush was just saying. I think what happened, Ms. Rush, with the amount of time it took to strap you in, what we found out, while the operator was great, she did a great job. She has an outstanding record, a really, really good member of our team. I think with all the cameras flashing, all the people standing around, she was extremely nervous, and it took her a little longer than normal. But we don't believe it takes 10 minutes to strap a person safely in the minivan. I think we concluded that was a bit of nerves, and she just wanted to try to relax with everybody looking at her and taking pictures of every single move she was making. But the team is evaluating overall any additional time for strapping in and securing a customer traveling in a mobility device. And we are going to be making adjustments to our scheduling system to take that into account. Will it be 10 minutes? I don't think it's going to take 10 minutes. I think we've concluded that. But there will be some time adjusted so that we can just ensure no one is rushing, because this is a service now. Operators do not have to rush. They don't have to rush to come and get you. They don't have to rush once you're in the vehicle. Everyone should take their time and be safe, and that's our number one goal. But you're right. There is additional time, but perhaps not the amount of time you experienced outside.
Well, you 5 minutes to strap you once you get, and then 5 minutes to unstrap you, but maybe I'm wrong. But as long as you're looking at it and know that you have to allow for that time. And those vans are really good and should be used for wheelchair people a lot, so that they won't have to wait so long.
Well, we agree. It's going to be for everybody, and we're going to make sure, as I say, these are eventually will replace the bulk of the cargo vans. And, you know, the cargo vans make up the overwhelming high percentage of our fleet. So we're moving from the cargo vans to a comfortable van, and combining the comfort and ease of driving of a consumer vehicle that feels like a sedan. So we're trying to bring comfort to everybody, ease of use to everybody, so that there are no more complaints or concerns about riding in a van that was designed for Amazon boxes, but now taking our precious Metro Access customers.
Right. Okay. Also, if the person is over 6'3", when they sit in the van, over 6'3" is not going to work. Your head is touching the roof. I mean, you're not going to be able to fit.
For our very tallest customers, So, you know, we have accommodations for our largest customers, and for our very tallest customers, we'll still have very large vans, but they'll be new vans, not the old E350s that you still see out there, but they'll be new ones, but kind of shaped in that same fashion for tall people.
So okay, because they definitely going to be hitting their head. Their head not. All right.
I understand.
So, Mr. Blake, how many of these minivans do you propose that are being ordered right now to eventually be hitting the streets?
There are 23 on the streets now, and we're trying to order, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody from my team, 379 more.
All right.
I'm hearing corrections, but I'll get you the exact number next week when I or next month when I also provide some images, as Mr. Somebody asked. Mr. Torres asked for images of three people sitting back. I'm going to find the three smallest people I can find. But and we'll talk about the design and the size and the specs more next month. But so you know that the specs were based in part. See, we don't just take one thing and just run with that and forget about it. You all as a committee and the public, and there are many members of the stakeholder community who gave us feedback in terms of headroom, legroom, for the sedans, and we brought those over to the minivans. So we'll share more of that with you next month, and I'll give you the exact number of vehicles we're ordering. I believe it's 379, but I'll stand to be correct. Oh, excuse me, 404 over the next 2 years.
Okay.
Yes.
Thomas, is your question related to this topic? Oh, sorry, Anu. Who do you have? Go ahead.
Rico had raised his hand.
Okay.
Then we can go to Thomas.
Okay, Rico, as it pertains to this topic.
Oh, I'm sorry. So if you have a share ride, you have a walker, like I use, you have somebody in a wheelchair, then you have somebody else.
No, sir.
So last Friday, it was walker, me, a wheelchair, and another passenger. The other passenger, I'm concerned, get attitude because she want to go home after the people with a walker and a wheelchair is big. I want to go home now.
Now, Rico, is this with the minivan here? Because that's the topic.
Yes.
So with the new minivans?
Yes.
Oh.
So
okay. We'll see that. I mean, that'll be a surprise to me, but we'll look at the video.
What if you have a big size like I am, and you have another big size, another male who's in a wheelchair, and another is a woman, big size, if the walk cannot fit on that, what can we do? Do we call customer service to request for another van, or do we wait, or do we have the driver to dispatch the operator? What can we do? That is my concern.
Okay. So one, I want to know the trip. Please let us know after the meeting. The trip that you used in which you had three people on a minivan. On the Ford Transit, yeah, that happens. But on a minivan, I'll be surprised, but we'll see about that.
Okay.
Secondly, if you have two large men, if both of them are ambulatory, i.e. are walking, even if they use a walker, one sits at one end of the seats, the other sits at the other end of the seats. If you have two large men and one is in a wheelchair and one is ambulatory, Well, one is being strapped and secured in the wheelchair. One is being seated on the bench. The scenario you're giving, again, and that's why I want to see the video. I'm not doubting you. I just got to find out how that even happened, where you have two large men and a woman, is not how we're scheduling trips on the minivans. It's two people. Either one is in a wheelchair and one is ambulatory, or two people are ambulatory. But right now, we're not scheduling trips with three that will result in three people being on the minivan, three passengers being on the minivan.
All right, thank you. And
so to answer your question, though, even though we're not scheduling that way, the operator would make that call to the OCC and say, these three customers cannot fit on this vehicle at this time. And then a road supervisor will come, or they'll make some other adjustments pretty quickly, but you don't have to make that call. The operator's job is to do that.
And another question, if you have a walker folded, if it's that way again, where do you put the walker? Like the walker will fold when you sit down, that kind of walker I have, with the wheel, with the four wheels. If you have strap that way, but you have a walker that way,
if the walker isn't secured in the front of the seats, then the walker can be placed in the back of the van behind the seats.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thomas, you are next. And this is relating to this, right?
The minivans myself.
Okay, go ahead.
And I enjoy them, and they're okay. But I got to get ready to get off soon because I have to handle a medical thing. But when I was on the vans, so a lot of the drivers are using the excuse of the minivans for the big regular size vans. They're talking about, we're going to have one wheelchair at a time on a larger van. And Ms. Blake and other people, y'all know, I used to take care of my mom. My mom was a wheelchair user. I was a wheelchair user. So I had to take my mom to our doctor's appointments. Mm-hmm. So we both was on the van together.
Oh, the minivan, right?
Please talk to the drivers when you're training them, to let them know, do not bring up their personal opinion about A, can't be a wheelchair user, because I was my mother's aide, her power of attorney and whatnot. And I was on that. So that's very sensitive to me when the drivers talk like that. And then plus, the drivers should not be talking like they've been punished if they got a day of wheelchair users getting on the van. Because the drivers, they be talking to me like they're being punished. Oh, all day. Oh, I had to pick a wheelchair. And I'm on a van. I'm a wheelchair user. And you complaining about picking up other people. So that means you're complaining about me too. So they look at it like they're being punished. Mm-hmm. So please keep some of the regular vans so you can have two wheelchair users. Because some people that's AIDS is a wheelchair user. Mm-hmm. And the other person might be a wheelchair user. Mm-hmm. Like I was my mother's aide, or what have you. So, and I'm a wheelchair user. So please tell the drivers not to discriminate against people that's AIDS, that's wheelchair users.
So it's my understanding, Thomas, that there were two people in wheelchairs at the same time on a minivan, minivan.
No, not on the minivan.
No, he's talking about
what happened. Oh, okay. The drivers that are on the regular vans, they're taking a minivan thing and bringing it to the regular van. Well, I only could carry one van, but I only could carry one chair, but that's the rule.
Right.
So they're repeating everything that a driver would say that drives a minivan, and they're saying that when they drive the regular van.
And so, Mr. Mangrum, you're making a great point in overall, and we've been saying it, and I hear that's part of this culture of some operators that we're working very hard to get out of, because in our town hall meetings, I would often hear that, oh, you punish me because every trip I had today was a wheelchair trip.
Uh-huh.
And I would say to them, you're driving a wheelchair accessible vehicle. What do you expect? And I've been telling the management of the teams, they need to drill this message down. We produce videos trying to drill this message in.
Mm-hmm.
It is part of a culture that we're trying to remove from the system. You're right in terms of we have vehicles. If there's ever a trip, and every day we have trips in which two wheelchair using or mobility device using customers are traveling together, and we in fact do put them on the vehicle together.
Mm-hmm.
Our vehicles we have for those particular trips. In fact, the scheduling team schedules those trips first. Then it schedules all mobility device trips to ensure that they're locked into a vehicle and that there are no issues either early in the morning, middle of the day, or late at night. But this idea that you took a job to transport people with disabilities and somehow it's a punishment if you are transporting a certain category of customers, we've got to get that out of the mindset of and it's a handful, but as they say with other professions, only a handful can make the whole profession look bad and lead to protest. We don't want you protesting yet, but believe me, we are trying to educate them that just the thought and the fact that they're saying it, you know they're thinking it, just that thought though, negatively impacts their ability to be professionals and therefore your experience. But we're working very, very hard to get that out of their mindset.
Yeah, make sure you do, because some of my friends and myself, we've been told that they only can handle one wheelchair at a time. And we're on a regular van. And we know that's not true. Mm-hmm. But they tell customers that that's the policy now.
All right. Thank you, Thomas. We do have to move on.
One wheelchair at a time. And that's not the policy.
Thank
so
you, Thomas.
So please let them know. I got to go.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Anu?
Here. We have, I believe, a member of the public. Did you want to take their comment now if it pertains to the topic or put them in public comments?
I want to go with public comments because we got one more comment. We have public comment period, and I want to save time for that, unlike last meeting. So let's get through this. I will make sure everyone speaks, and we start firmly at 5:30, if not earlier, to hear everyone speak, particularly from people from the public first, and then any committee members.
Sounds good. So, Michelle, Lindsay, we will have your comments during the public comment section. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Williams-Hall, you are up next about web booking. As you can see, I've sent some pictures.
You did, and thank you so much for sending those. Just before your email came, however, we were just discussing the fact that the system had been fully updated, and we believe that outstanding service issue had been totally addressed. And so to be specific, you'll recall that during the peak hours of the day, the system would not allow you to book your trips, right?
Yes.
So that's what we worked so hard to get addressed. So that's been addressed. We completed that work late last week. And so far, the system remains stable without interruptions from that perspective.
However, it does. And I will attest from one who 99% web books. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is a lot better. However, yes. Over the past week, I sent you pictures of what I'm seeing.
Right. And that's what I was just about to say, sir. Thanks to your email, we've learned that there are new issues that have evolved. The moment I saw yours, I escalated that to Trapeze, and they're absolutely working on it right now. They're currently being addressed, and hopefully the next time that you go in, you won't see those. They're in the middle of a meeting right now discussing it. So we're going to address that.
So if you can describe just for the public what I sent, that way people are nutshell.
I'll pull it up real quick just so I can have it in front of me. But in fact, what was happening, it looks like once the updates were made, some of the coding language is appearing on the screen. That's what it looks like to me. And it's also an issue with not showing enough of your trip history and what the currently scheduled trip. So that's a setting that they have to address, and they're looking into that right now.
So what I will say on Chrome, that's what I sent. Now, if you went to Firefox, it does pull up the normal screen on that web browser.
Okay.
But it's not showing enough of my trip history. Like today I said I had 4 trips, but it's only showing one.
One, right. No, I sent what you sent to me directly to
them. Yeah, that one was the most, you know, it's hard to do. And it's like I have to go to instant access to confirm I have trips every day right now or call a reservation.
Right. Got it. Right. But they are aware. And we've seen more work from Trapeze on this in the last 15 days than we have in the last 18 months. I've vigorously escalated this up to their leadership to make sure this gets addressed. So I have every confidence that it's going to be handled.
All right. Any committee members with questions about this particular issue before I go into a customer comment period? All right. Hearing there is no other comments about this particular topic. Thank you, Ms. Williams Hall. We hope next month with a brief update, we have cleared everything out with that topic finally. So now it is 5:16 anew. You're going to help me, and I'm sure there's going to be a list.
Yes.
We are going to start public comment period, and we're going to get through everybody.
All right. So
start with members of the public.
Yes, Chair Zamrapour. So starting with the members of the public, we will go with Janice Samuel, followed by Michelle Lindsay, and then somebody on the phone.
And you want to talk about public comment?
Yes. Okay, thank you. So for the public comment section, we will have 3 minutes for each speaker. Approximately 30 seconds ahead of time ending, I will try to give you a warning. Not always able to do that because I do not like to disturb people when they're speaking, but you will hear a sound at the end of 3 minutes. We are practicing this to make sure that anybody who would like to make comments gets an opportunity. If we have any remaining time, we will come back to you if you have any additional comments. So thank you for working with us on the 3 minutes. And when Janice, you start speaking, I will start the time.
Samuel begin, Anu, if he doesn't speak, there is a public comment from Mr. Torres, if you want to read it, unless he decides to, his hand is up, never mind.
Yeah, his hand is up. So what's the order again, Anu? Who am I, because I see a lot of hands. This is where
okay. So we will start with Janice Samuel because she had sent me a message. And then we will have Michelle Lindsay followed by Debbie Dunaway, Wilma Smith, and Ansel Torres.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you, Anu. I'd like to submit an accommodation for Michelle Smith and Raymond Bush for their work and assistance during the National Federation of the Blind of the District of Columbia, their events this past weekend. They did an outstanding job in seeing that persons with visual disabilities receive their Metro Access rides. They did not leave until the last person was serviced. So I'd like to submit those accommodations so that they can be recognized for their service. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. Next is Michelle Lindsay.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. And first I must say, I do love and appreciate you guys for having this organization, such as Metro Access, to assist people with disabilities to take us door to door and stuff. It's a great system. Next is pertaining to the vans, the new vans that you were talking about just now. My issue with it is that I'm 5'9", and I'm having issues going inside the vans. Walking on that little ramp to go in there, I have to almost be bending. My whole chest is almost going down to my knees for me to go inside there. When I sit on the seat, more than half of my leg is off the seat. The seats is too short. The seatbelt, once I strap myself in, the seatbelt is actually almost cutting me across my neck. It holds you tightly enough, but it's almost up in my neck. It's in my neck. You know, so I have issues going into that vehicle. It drives nicely. It looks nicely, but I'm really uncomfortable in it. I'd rather the sedan or the original bus that you guys originally started with.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Blake, you want to respond to that?
Well, yes, as we've done with the sedans, when folks said they were not necessarily comfortable riding in sedans, we're an accommodation business, and we've been accommodating customers. So I would just ask Ms. Lindsay to give me a call tomorrow. We'll talk about it a little more, but we'll certainly make sure her trips are, if it is a problem, her trips can be scheduled to vans or sedans to the greatest extent possible, as we've done with other customers and accommodating their vehicle preference.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is Debbie, followed by Wilma.
Well, just that, I wonder, before I forget, like three things. Okay. One is, if there are quite a few substantial issues with these new vans by Chrysler, why order so many? I mean, I understand how purchasing works, et cetera, timelines, but why order so many when it seems like they're not going to pertain to, I mean, we're not talking about luxury here, okay? I'm talking about fact of how much space there really is. It's been brought up by other people as well. And I'm just saying that. And then the only other one I want to throw out is, if Metro Access would tell clients to take snapshots of their screen when there are problems, and then when they're like trying to do an order or something's weird, and give them a place to send them, maybe it would help you know more what the problems are, because not everybody has the patience I have, even though I've gotten kind of upset. One other question. Why, if there's something on it that says patient has bad back, needs this, do they keep scheduling the vans for that person? I'm trying to understand. Yeah, I see heads nodding. Why do they do that and make the life so much more complicating and exacting? And like just last week, I know I'm throwing a whole lot out, but I only 3 minutes. Just last week, I'm sitting here dealing with calling in and talking about this, and I'm getting sass and flack about how, well, we don't see this on your thing. We don't, you know, it's a request. It's not set in stone. I mean, either I can or I can't. And then it's like, if I'm calling 2 hours ahead and they said, no, you're in a van, and then I'm calling back closer to the ride, all of a sudden I'm in a sedan, but I was on hold for 40 minutes, really, to talk to a supervisor, because there was only one supervisor working the whole shift on a Sunday night. I mean, anyhow, that's it. Thanks.
Yes, ma'am. And as we've talked about it, so let's talk about, well, let's start with the first. Why are you purchasing the vans? Because through our due diligence, we know that the vans work for people in a public transportation system. And that's what people have to keep in mind. We are a shared ride public transportation service, not a, as you and I talk separately, we're not a non-emergency medical transportation service. So we're purchasing a vehicle that can transport numbers of customers in an efficient and comfortable way. We can go back certainly to 8-seat cargo vans, but we've heard just as many complaints about those. There's not going to ever be a perfect vehicle, I believe. I can't think of even, you know, being facetious, a Rolls Royce, because everybody won't be able to fit in the Rolls Royce properly. So we have to look at this from a public transit service standpoint. And our due diligence have showed us that around the country, and in fact, around the world, minivans of many varieties and all of them basically with the same shape and size are being utilized to transport thousands of people with disabilities on a daily basis. So with us having a multi-fleet vehicle for those situations that require accommodation, we do our very, very best to accommodate the wishes of the customers. Now, when it comes to a situation of accommodation versus an official reasonable accommodation, because again, this is public transportation. And it was only, as I pointed out just a little while ago, October 15th, 2020, before we even had any sedans in the fleet. So everything were cargo vehicles. I'm very happy to have customers like yourself be able and willing to be able to express a desire for a type of vehicle. That's why I did that. Now, with only 30% of the fleet being sedans, every single trip cannot be possibly absolutely accommodated. And so if the situation in which a customer is calling, and this is going to be part of what we talk about with respect to the call center's performance, if you're on hold for an accommodation, yeah, you may be on hold for a while, although I've always told the OCC, you get the customer's information, you get their needs, what is it that they need, and you ask them to let you call you back. There's no reason you should be on the phone for 40 minutes. Absolutely none whatsoever. The dispatcher should have took your information. This is Ms. Deborah Dunaway, who calls Mr. Blake all the time. She wants a sedan. I've got you, Ms. Dunaway. I'm going to work with my supervisor, and let's see how quickly we can arrange the schedule to accommodate your desire. To have Ms. Dunaway on the phone for 40 minutes to then say that to the dispatcher is absolutely not how we want this to work. So you shouldn't have been on the phone for 40 minutes. It is absolutely our desire to accommodate you and every customer in the specific vehicle they want. And if we don't have a sedan on Metro Access, my attitude, I've said it all the time, place Ms. Dunaway, I'm just saying Ms. Dunaway, but place Ms. Dunaway, place Paul, whoever else needs a sedan for their back, their hip, whatever they're going through. There's Uber, there's taxis. Ask Ms. Dunaway if she wouldn't mind using an Uber for this trip. That's how we're supposed to be handling that. And again, you and I have talked a lot, and I'm working with the OCC to learn to be a little more nimble in responding to your requests and others. But on the surface, Metro Access isn't going to be able to make a guaranteed promise to you of a sedan. We can't make that a policy. But I assure you, Ms. Dunaway, every single trip you book on Metro Access should be able to be accommodated in a sedan, either one with a big letter M on the side, i.e. Metro,
sure,
or one that has the color of a taxi company, or one that's a private vehicle on Uber. We should be able to do that.
But see, this is the, and I totally appreciate that, but when I'm getting Tonia, or I'm getting Brianna, or I'm getting specific women who like to go around with me on this crap because they're supervisors and they got control and they want to sit here and make me cry for an hour.
No, we shouldn't have that. But
okay. And I'm sitting here calling back to try to get someone else to talk to, because if I get men, they don't give me a problem, but women do, because I don't know what the heck. But what I'm basically saying is it does get personal.
And we're working. And when you told me the names, and we don't want to express the names in this public meeting, but when you told me the names, I went back to their manager and asked her to look into this situation. But as I've always said to you and other customers, while we're working through those things, call me and we'll work on it. But I'm trying to train them up. But Ms. Dunaway, trust me, you don't need to be on the phone for 40 minutes. Just drop my name, tell them what you want, and then tell them to tell their supervisor, and it should be taken care of. And somebody should just call you back with what sedan is going to be sent for you.
And what do I do when they say, well, there's only one supervisor on that? Is that possible?
Well,
of all of Metro, there's only one supervisor on at all.
Well, because if we're on Sunday nights at 12 o'clock when there's only 33 trips over the next 4 hours, I don't need 20 supervisors there.
No, this was a Saturday or Friday.
Okay,
this wasn't
Saturday,
a Sunday night.
Saturday at 12 o'clock where there's 60 trips. I don't need 30 supervisors. My point is, Ms. Dunaway, let's not worry about the personal
Okay,
staff.
I don't want to.
Here's
take
what
up
I,
someone
here's
else's
what I would
time
like
that way.
You and other
yeah,
customers
I need to get
understand.
The other people.
I'm sorry.
That most issues can be resolved without the need of the customer speaking to the supervisor. And that's, so I want you to get out the mindset that I've got to talk to a supervisor every time I call Metro Access. That's where some of the issues begin. Whatever you share with the dispatcher can be shared by the dispatcher with the supervisor, and you just wait for the call back, especially if you're calling 2 hours ahead of time. We want you to relax those 2 hours while we find a sedan to accommodate your health challenges.
I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, I'm getting pretty sick of a supervisor turning around and saying to me, do you want me to cancel or we'll pick you up in an hour when I'm already running late because they didn't do it right. I don't think it's right to threaten people that way. And it is. And they're, oh, we're not threatening you. We're just telling you your options. Click.
Okay. Thank you.
You have my personal number.
Yeah, I do. We'll thank you, though. This. I just want to make sure everybody knows what's really going on. Thank you.
Wilma, you're next.
Hi, I'm Mrs. Smith, and thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I am so grateful to Metro Access for the past 20 years. Let me just say, and before this, it's been a blessing. I have a grandson. I'm going to make this very brief. I called to mostly let you all know how much I appreciate the changes that I'm seeing. I have a grandson who's 22 years old. When he first started riding with me, when he was 2 years old, he made up a song. And he said, Metro Access is my favorite friend. And every time he would ride with me, he'd sing that song. And that's because I thank you all so much for the flat rate of $4. Yes. That is truly a blessing to me. I'm telling you, it's like God answers prayers. Y'all, I am grateful for the small changes that are being made. The rides are getting here a little more often at the beginning of the window. Thank you all for that. I'm just totally grateful because Metro Access has truly been a blessing to me. I can depend on y'all when it's hard to depend on others to take me where I need to go. And every week I use y'all for something. You got a lot of wonderful drivers. One of my concerns would be for the drivers, some of them, and because I remember I'm not going to give details about anything I'd say. But there are times when I've sat in the van for almost 30 minutes because the driver was not able to get into OCC to give them the driver permission to move on. I think that is something you may want to kind of take a look at because I've more than one have said they just have to sit there until OCC give them permission to move on. That is one of my concerns. Other than that, I was trying to look at my list. Oh, the two-hour ride, that is another thing, because I've heard other clients, when I'm riding with them, mention they've ridden for 2 hours. And I'm thinking, really, for 2 hours? I experienced that recently myself in the past month. So that is another thing you may want to kind of look into, because I remember leaving from New Carrollton, going into Upper Northwest, then coming back to D.C., then finally I got home, and that was about 2 hours. But other than that, and I'll save some for next month.
All right. You're always welcome to come back every month.
After that nice comment, so we have to give Ms. Smith a whole lot of credits to her. No, we can't do that.
Y'all have been a blessing, and thank you so much. I appreciate you all. So we keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a fine job. You know,
we're trying to get better and better. Just real quick,
May I say one last thing?
Yes, ma'am.
One last thing. It's a service that's being run by imperfect people. And I heard you kind of say that in your talk. You know, it's not a perfect system, but it's a blessing, hopefully, to many people. And it's going to get better. And it's going to take all of us to help to make it better. You know, sometimes just giving a positive feedback can help you all to do better. And thank you all so much.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank you.
Just a couple of things for customers to be aware of. Yes, sometimes, and I know the team is working very, very hard also in terms of how we separate the duties of the dispatchers so that they can answer the phones from the calls from the radios of the operators much quicker. But also, just so customers know, an operator doesn't have to just wait for the OCC. When the operator isn't getting a response from the OCC, they are supposed to also call their base, and the base is supposed to call the manager directly on his or her personal cell phone. So now oftentimes, I've noticed with a few customers, they're not calling, they're calling me and saying to call the manager, and I'll do that. But we're making it we're giving the operators enough power to get through to the management if the dispatchers aren't responding. So those delays and waiting because nobody's answering, we're trying to eliminate those situations or at least greatly reduce them. In terms of the two-hour trip, now your trip doesn't sound like one based on the pickup and drop-off, but as when I first came into this role, and I shared with the team, and I think that's when Ms. Rush started calling me a Corleone, you know, the fixed route equivalent time. So there are going to be some trips, Ms. Smith, maybe one of yours one day, that can be 2 or even 3 hours, because there are some trips in this system that if you're not a Metro Access customer, but you're instead using the bus and the train, could take you 3 hours. A bus trip with some rail from, let's say, Clinton, Maryland, to the mall out there in Virginia. What's that fancy mall that's one of our stations? I can't remember the name of the mall. What's that big fancy mall out there? But anyway.
Tyson's
Corner, the fancy rich people mall. That's why I don't know the name of it. I can't afford to go out there. But if you're traveling from Clinton on bus and rail, that could take 2.5-3 hours. So that's how long you would be or could be on Metro Access. I'm not saying the example you just gave was justified, and we would have to look at that. Gotcha. We do have a metric in the monthly Metro Access report that says trips that meet the fixed route equivalent time. And I think right now we're about 91% of our trips are either equal to or faster than the amount of time it would take you on a bus or a train. So trips can be long, but they don't necessarily have to be, and not all of them actually should be. And we just have to look at them on a case-by-case basis.
I understand.
All right, thank you. Next is Mr. Torres, and then the person who has the 9657. Mr. Torres, you're up next.
Thank you. I want to state here that one of my least favorite group of people at Metro Access are the agents who take phone calls. They have tormented me several times. Sometimes it almost seemed personal. But recently, I have discovered at least two customer service reps on the phone that I one I will mention because I remember his name. The other one, I don't remember his name. There's a gentleman named Curtis from, I believe he's from Oklahoma. And every time, I've gotten him twice, and he is like, you know, the epitome of what I think good customer service should be like. I wish you guys could listen to him and how he conducts himself and use that as a potential model for how people are to be treated as Metro Access customers. My blood pressure goes down every time I get him on the phone. It is that dramatic because of his personality and the way he communicates with people. Moving on to the issue of these vehicle purchases, It seems as though Metro Access has a problem. And I believe ultimately it is a management problem of creating issues and then having to force themselves to come up with ways to fix the problems that they created in the first place. And this vehicle thing is one of them. This vehicle purchase. So you purchase a sedan that is 36 inches when having a few more inches of headroom, the 36 inches headroom, when having two or three more inches of headroom would accommodate way more people comfortably, doesn't make any sense to me. And now you have a sedan. I have never sat in a sedan where my head touched the ceiling. I haven't been on this vehicle, but Ms. Rush made a comment about that. So it should be interesting what experience I have. The first, I believe, set of SUVs that you guys purchased, for me, those were the most perfect vehicles that Metro Access had. I'm not sure why they were discontinued, but it was a real joy riding that vehicle. And it was one of those minivans. It was an extremely good vehicle. I'm not sure what happened there. But my question is, what are the standards? What are the measurements that you guys use when selecting these vehicles? Because having a situation where you have to, now you have to give your height when you order a vehicle at Metro Access so that, well, we're not going to send you a sedan or we're not going to send you an SUV. We're going to send you a bus. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. I have ridden paratransit vehicles in Williamsburg, Virginia, and in New Orleans. And they use a different type of bus. They use a larger bus. It accommodates so many different types of people, and it's one vehicle that they use. You know, so it's not a situation where you have to give, I mean, unless the person is unusually tall, unless he's like a 7-footer or something, then maybe. But I am 6'4". 6'4" is sort of an average tall guy's height. It's not anything extraordinary. It's not a freaky height. So I don't understand what height of person do you guys plan for when you purchase these vehicles? Thank you.
Great question, Mr. Torres. So first, your first question, rear leg room 38 inches, front leg room 39 inches, but we don't have a seat in the front of the minivan, so this was all from the sedans. 36 inches of front headroom, again, we don't have any seats in the front, and 36 inches of rear headroom.
So how did you come up with 36? That's what I would like to know.
Because what we were doing is looking at when we had the exercises with the OCC and disability community stakeholders and the vehicles that were available. We took the vehicles that were the most popular and we looked at those specific metrics and specs and we used those as the basis. Now, to the point, I don't know in which you, when you say you do things that you then have to fix, because as I pointed out, I mean, just from my experience in dealing with customers here and other places I've worked, I knew the sedans would be popular. And every day we have thousands of customers who want to use the sedan. So nothing's been fixed. Nothing's been changed on the sedans. And I don't anticipate anything being fixed or changed on the minivans. And I would also add, though, that to our customers who have signed up to utilize alternative services, many of you have been in all sorts of vehicles, some bigger than the minivans that we have, bigger than the sedans, some smaller than the minivans and sedans. There's some of you who've been transported in vehicles as little as Toyota Priuses, even though you're very tall or somebody could be short or wide. So again, I think our point has been, we listen to the community, we build our specs based on the feedback we get from the community. We look at the fact that we are a public transit service where we do not expect any one thing to be perfect for every customer that's in our network. But because we're willing to accommodate each customer and do our part to make sure customers have what they need for their travel. There's no fix, quote unquote, that is needed. We just have to sometimes fix, as Ms. Dunaway and to yourself point out, the attitudes of some of the individuals you may engage and encounter with as we're making these accommodations. And that's just a matter of developing the professionalism that we want all of our Metro Access ecosystem participants to conduct themselves with. But
well, if you don't plan to make any changes to the vehicles that you're purchasing, why bother to even ask our opinion? What is the point then? Is this sort of a dog and pony show that you're asking questions? Well, so what is the point of soliciting our response and plan not to do anything about it? I don't get it.
We would do something if we're talking about a structure, because we're talking about the structure of the vehicle right now. And the structure of the vehicle is what is built. It's a new off-the-lot vehicle. And to say we didn't take into consideration, again, those specs came directly from feedback that you contributed to, the AAC members, and other disability community stakeholders. Mm-hmm. So I hear you. I'm not sure, other than buying a different type of vehicle, I'm not sure what structural fix you would want to the vehicle.
I'm not asking for any structural fix. I'm just asking, I want to know what height do you guys accommodate for that you come up with these standards? Are you accommodating people up to 6'3" or 6'2"? What is the height?
Three more people I need to get through.
We took the feedback of customers.
All right, Mr. Blake, I'll take this offline. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Let me just close and say we took the feedback of a number of customers who entered and exited several different types of sedan vehicles right outside Jackson Graham building. And even a few we took to some customer homes because they couldn't make it to Jackson Graham. We took that collective feedback and we built specs based on that feedback. No, this is for our customers up to 6 feet and 270 pounds. We don't do that. We took the feedback. And knowing that we do not have a single vehicle fleet, therefore, we don't need to try to come up with the perfect vehicle for 100% of Metro Access customers. We have to come up with a fleet that's accommodating to the customer base and have the nimbleness in the OCC in our scheduling and same-day dispatch to accommodate the needs of customers and the desires of the individual customers. So you build for the big population, but we serve each and every one of you individually.
All right, thank you. Next, I need to get the 9. There's a number with 301-9667 ending. That's from the public that wanted to speak. Yeah, before I go to Darnese and then Tawan. No,
actually, we have Rico before Darnese and then Tawan. So the person who was on phone, I believe they got disconnected.
All right. I'll go with Rico, then Darnese, and then Tawan.
Okay. On September 1st, I made a call customer service, filed a complaint on an operator using his personal cell phone on the vehicle. We have me and a person with a wheelchair on the van. And I had not heard anything about the investigation on this case. On September 12th at 12 noon, my return trip from Georgetown Washington Hospital to my house. And I have not heard anything back from that yet.
Okay. So
after Rico, I'm going to take that other person who came back on.
Say that we've received your feedback. I can just tell you, cell phone use by an operator while in service behind the wheel of a vehicle that's moving is zero tolerance. So what we do is address, and I say we, but the company that driver would be working for would address that driver directly. You have submitted the complaint. The investigation will be dealt with, but we don't necessarily discuss personnel actions with the buff.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The person with ending in 9657, you may speak. 3 minutes.
I believe that's Chico, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Yeah, what did you say?
Oh, you may give your public comment, sir.
Okay. I have three of them, but I'll save the other two for next month's meeting. I'm Kiki Tanaka. I love Metro Access. It's my only way of going places. I may have additional options, but Metro Access is number one. I don't use a wheelchair. I use a cane instead, a white cane. And they keep sending me vans. And I tell them I don't want to use a van. I want to use a sedan. The reservation agent tells me, do you want a van with a lift? I told them no. And they still send me a van with a lift. Sometimes they send me a sedan, sometimes they send me a lift. But I tell them, don't send me a lift van. I even sign up for the mobility ride program. The mobility ride. And that helps. That helps a lot. I tell them, send me a sedan, and for all my trips, don't send me a lift van for all my trips.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. You want to respond to that?
Yes, as I was mentioning earlier, and the customer, I've got his number down. We'll look at his trip, see if there's anything in the bookings that would continue to result in vans. But again, we have to keep in mind, sedans have only been in the fleet for 3 years. Before the sedans came along, you were riding in a van on all of your trips. That's number one. We always got to keep that in mind. Number two, sedans are only 30% of our fleet. So if every single customer who did not use a wheelchair or other mobility device requested a sedan, and they have a right to do so, we don't have enough sedans to transport everybody. And so then back to the point I was making with Mr. Torres, I plan this service based on the global population, but we serve people individually. I hear the caller, I have his number, I'll look up his trips, and we'll do what we can on an individual basis to accommodate his preference. But as I said to Ms. Dunaway and others, I cannot guarantee every single trip in a sedan, but we can certainly do a lot to make the overwhelming number of your trips be in a sedan. But again, we're an accessibility-based service, and that's one reason we're moving to the minivans. Gives you the comfort of a sedan while giving us the flexibility of having the accessibility of a van.
All right, thank you. Darnice, you're up next, followed by Tuan.
Well, this is Darnice. For once, I'm not complaining. All the services have been improving. Basically, what you need to do is every time you schedule a trip with a person, you have to remember that people can't read your mind. It's almost like scheduling the first trip you ever made. You need to give them all of your information. You need to watch your tone of voice. And you need to be helpful, because some of them are new. I mean, some of them haven't been dispatchers and schedulers for a long, long time. So the more information you give them, the better your ride will be. Every time I ride, I always ask for a van with a lift. And, you know, they always ask you what type of mobility equipment you have and all of that. And I use a wheelchair, but I also use a cane. I tell them whether I'm going to be ambulatory or not, but I still ask for a van with a lift. So if you know that you ride a sedan, don't assume that they remember that from the last time you rode. Tell them again. I mean, it won't hurt you to take an extra minute to stop yourself from having 12 headaches on the day you ride.
12 on
this question. He had 12.
All right. Thank you. Tawan, you're next.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so two parts. One, I don't want to call it a complaint, and it's not from me. So it's one of our constituents, and so I'm just passing that on. But before I say that, my language is consistent pretty much across the board, much following up from what Darnese said. Do I like vans? No. But do I accept it's a paratransit system with a variety of vehicle types? Yes. But what do I say? Same thing every time. When they ask me what type of tool or whatnot I'm using, I say white cane, visually impaired, no lift required. But it doesn't mean that if I get a van, I'm going to start making havoc about it. But that's me. Now, to the issue. On the occasion that one of my constituents will get a Metro Access sedan, like one of our hybrid Camrys, they are concerned that the child lock is on the door. And for whatever reason, they feel unsafe. So it is my responsibility to pass that on. What is the official, and I apologize, Mr. Blake, because I had considered sending it to you in advance so you could have the formal statement. So if you don't have it right now, I understand. What is the official guidelines regarding having the child locks on when riding in a Metro Access sedan?
Yes. I was going to ask Ms. Williams Hall for that.
I'm one. I'll be honest.
Okay.
I like the child lock. I thought that was a safety measure. But here was a where we heard from the it was the AAC meeting, and I was schooled very well by the members of the AAC and the public. So our official policy is that the child safety locks should not be engaged at any time. So what we need the constituent to do is, I'm sure they don't remember the vehicle number or the date or the time at this point. If they do, great, you can let us know. But the next time they experience the phenomena of the child safety locks being enforced, like Mr. Semaphore does with those Garmin pictures or lack of Garmin pictures, ask them to please just report it to myself or to you, and you can forward it to me as soon as possible so we can address the individual operator. Because with a lot of things, you heard Ms. Dunaway talk about a couple of people in the OCC, you heard Mr. Torres as well. It becomes a matter of, at some point, when you talk to the whole team, the team members get it, but you then have to get to those few in the barrel who are making it bad for everybody else. And so we need to drill down to the individual phone operators, just like we have to drill down to the individual vehicle operators to make sure they do the right thing.
And one last clarification. It is agreed that that policy is, as you stated, not necessarily enforceable, but because of the fact that you use subcontractors to Ubers, when a person in their own private vehicle has it on, they can have it on because it's their private vehicle, right?
Well, that's, yeah, when they're in, if they're on abilities ride, so this goes back to some of the points I was making, if you remember Saturday during the conference. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Blake is six and the interpreter's about to leave.
All right, hold on one second, Mr. Interpreter. Ubers and the taxis, they are their own separately regulated businesses, and Metro Access really has no control over them. But if your constituent or anybody is in a Metro Access branded vehicle, the child safety locks should not be engaged.
Thank you very much, sir.
With that, we're going to make a motion to adjourn because it's six and our interpreters are going to leave. A motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
All those in favor, Sandy, please do so by saying aye. Oh, Anu, make your last go. It's 6 o'clock. Make your comment anew. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. I just want to share that anybody who's looking to make public comments can do so even before or after the meeting. They can send us an email at metroaczchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you. That concludes my announcement.
All right, and now we adjourned. All those say aye.
Y'all take care.
Bye.
Aye.
Great. I love it.